When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Collin II, and with me, as always, is...
Necessity, Jennifer, and Carda.
That is a great name.
Thank you.
Yes. Can I call you, Says Jen In?
Says Jen In? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I'm just going to take the first beginning of each of the...
Says Jenin, yeah. All right,
says Jenin, yeah. I'm never gonna call you that. So yeah. Anyway, so
it sounds like a medication name almost. Like try Says Jenin if you've got arthritis or whatever. You know, I don't know, depression or something.
Yeah. If you turn into a Hulk randomly, try Says Jenin.
Yeah. Try Says Jenin. Yeah. Exactly. Wow.
Are you tired of being green and angry? Yeah. Try Says Jenin. Do not take Says Jenin if you're allergic to Says Jenin.
Exactly.
I always find that funny on ads for medicine where it's like, do not take this product if you're allergic to it. It's like...
It's like, wait, what? Like,
how do you know if you're allergic to it?
And why would I take it if I already do know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know, yeah.
It's like, oh, man. It's like, you know, you never see that like in a... I mean, not like they have a lot of ads for eggs anymore, but you don't ever see an egg ad. You know, it's like, you know, don't eat eggs if you're allergic to eggs.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they say that sometimes too, like when you get like a flu shot or like even the COVID shot, I think they ask you the egg or egg products. I guess
there's something in there. Yeah. Some kind of,
So
coagulant or something. Yeah.
Interesting that they do. I'm like, nope, I'm good. I eat eggs occasionally.
Yeah, my sister's deathly allergic to them.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways, today on the show, folks, now that we're past our sponsors for Says Jenin. and eggs. Make sure you should try them together, Says Jenin and eggs. It's a great way to start your morning.
What the hell?
Yeah. Today we're talking about She-Hulk, Attorney at Law.
Yes, yes.
Episode 1, entitled A Normal Amount of Rage. Directed by Kat Coiro and written by Jessica Gao. Yes. It's the first episode of this series that is making all of the man children of the world upset because there's a female empowerment message within this show. And and yeah, I'm tired of reading all these babies cry that are
reviewed. I've avoided any
review. Yeah,
any kind of comments or videos or any.
Yeah, I just see these comments on Facebook from time to time, and I can't help them because, like, when you're scrolling through, it comes right up, and the first comment, or somebody posting in a group I belong to, like, this show's shit, and, you know.
I have a long-standing policy even before the, I guess what I would describe as the woke wars. is just see a movie before I even read any kind of
Oh
commentary
yeah.
on it,
Oh no,
whatever.
I saw all these things after I saw it, you
Oh no,
know,
I'm just
like within
saying,
this week, yeah.
like, I just don't take into consideration anything any of these people say, even before all of this kind of cultural war stuff started happening, where it's like, oh, Avengers 12, 2012 is a terrible movie, blah blah blah, because of this. And I'm like, okay, no, I'm just gonna go see a movie,
Yeah.
and then if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't, whatever.
Exactly.
So that's already been a long-standing policy of mine, even before the woke wars, if you want to call it that. But especially now, after the woke wars have, been going on for quite a few years at this point, at least since 2016, there was a very brief respite for a while, and then they kind of came back, in full
Yeah.
force. It is what it is. I mean, it's they'll say that about anything. I mean, like, before, their argument would usually be some kinds of, well, it's because, like, they go too far on the female empowerment, where they always got to make the women seem like they're better than the men, which in this episode they kind of go that route. But, like, that argument kind of just falls apart when it's like any time a woman's even in a show at all, even without that aspect, they still complain about it.
Also,
So,
based on the fact that this is how the character was in the comic books, anyways.
yeah.
So, she's always had the ability to control her powers, unlike Bruce.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's still that's because of whatever, so
Yeah.
I don't care about these people. I really don't.
No, I
So
don't either. But I just wanted to address it because
yeah.
I was just reading some comments on a Marvel group I belong to. And
Yeah.
where this guy's seen the first four episodes because I guess they had them like released early to some people
Oh, okay.
probably for reviewing purposes, but he was so misogynistic in all of his comments and saying how the show doesn't get any better. It's all just made for kids and it's not fun at all and everything. And it's just like Disney's destroying Marvel. And I was like, yeah, Disney's owned Marvel for how long now?
Oh.
Exactly.
And for kids, I mean,
No,
she a
it's not at
bird.
all. She's talking all about the whole time about Captain America's sex life. It's not made for kids
And
at all.
she flipped off Bruce at one point. I mean,
Yeah.
like, yeah, so okay. I wouldn't, describe it as for kids at all, actually, but okay. Ms. Marvel,
Yeah,
maybe.
Miss Marvel maybe, but not this. No.
But yeah, okay.
So, anyways, initial thoughts here. Back to that.
So, it's interesting. So the first viewing, I watched it pretty much like as soon as it was like released on like Wednesday night or Thursday morning,
Yeah.
and I wasn't that impressed with it. But then I watched it again just about like an hour ago, and then I really liked it the second viewing. So that's like my point of view just like completely flipped,
Yeah.
changed. So I don't know if it was just because maybe the time of night, or maybe I wasn't in the right mood for it or something like
Yeah.
that.
That
But
can always affect your opinion of
oh, of
something.
course, because I was
Anybody's,
tired.
yeah.
But but no, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was it was I like Marvel, kind of taking chances with going into comedy more so
Yeah.
lately over the than just like really serious movies, I mean, there's always been an element of comedy within the movies, but like blatantly getting comedic has
Yeah.
been, they've been getting into that for the past 3 years or so.
Well, yeah, a little bit. And I mean they've done different things too. And I mean the thing is people got to understand is that Marvel is not just one genre. It's several genres 'cause you got something like a spy thriller like Winter Soldier and you've got, a flat out comedy like Ragnarok or something. You know what I mean? It's like just how they are. It's like you got to kind of and you got like something that's kind of horror based like Doctor Strange 2, it's like Or Wanda in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, or Scarlet. Yeah, exactly. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
I just call it the Multiverse of Madness. Just,
yeah.
You know, or Mom, which I think is interesting. I think that was, I don't know if that was like an intentional.
I don't know thing. Because I mean, it was released Mother's Day weekend too. So it's just,
well, yeah. Just, yeah, that. And also because the whole thing is that she wants to be a mom to her kids. So I don't know if that was just coincidence or if that was like a hidden little like Easter egg type of thing.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was, you know, it probably, yeah.
Cause I've thought about that actually quite a bit during the last few months of, yeah.
And so, but yeah, I liked the show. It's got a very, sitcom-y kind of feel to it, to a point, you know, it's more, I don't know. It kind of reminds me in a way of like Ally McBeal or something, you know, maybe just the female lawyer aspect of it. And things of that nature, you know, trying to be a lawyer in the boys' world from what I can tell about what future episodes will have too. But even just this episode, the dynamic between Bruce and Jen was kind of cool. I call her Jen. She's my friend. Jennifer Walters.
Isn't she like a Facebook friend?
No, I just call her.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm just joking. It was like, yeah. We're on a first name basis, me and this fictional character.
Duh, that's her character's name. Wow.
Tatiana Maslany is the actress's name.
Oh, okay.
Her and I aren't on a first name basis.
Oh, okay.
I refer to her as Miss Maslany. You know, I don't. Okay. You know, yeah. yeah. The but anyways, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. Yeah, and I liked it better the second viewing than the first. The first one, I thought it was good. Second one, I actually found a lot more enjoyable, like a lot more things in it that I didn't notice the first time and stuff. So, in the humor specifically. So, do you want to get into what happens here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so what happens?
well, we start off with her practicing her her closing argument for the prosecutor for like this against this like multinational corporation, you know, type of, you know, deal where they, you know, abuse their power and all that kind of stuff. And then you got, you know, her paralegal, you know, who's also a woman, is like, you know, encouraging her. But then you got the guy who's also a lawyer. He keeps telling her like smile more. And
yeah, we've got the paralegal is the character's name is Nikki Ramos, played by Ginger Gonzaga, who people might know from I'm Dying Up Here. She was on that. That's where I know her from, because it bothered me. I just watched that show recently, and then I'm watching this episode, and I was like, this girl looks familiar.
So, right.
Yeah. We also have, I don't know what the name of the male character is. He's a character from the comic books, though. The paralegal is a made-up character for the show, though. I will do some research on the other. So, yeah, what happens then?
You know, she gets through that, and then Nikki's like, you know, you got this, like, you know, you're going to win the case or whatever. And, you know, in case that doesn't work, you can always just Hulk out, you know, so she knows, you know, about, you know, that she's a Hulk now. And then they're about to leave the office, and then she's like, hold on, I forgot something. And then she closed the door. She breaks the fourth wall. I think it's the first time ever in Marvel where someone has broke the fourth wall. I'm not sure, but I think it is where she actually talks to the camera, like to us as the audience, and is like basically saying like, yeah, it's true, I'm a Hulk, and you're not going to be able to pay attention to this thing, so, you know, until you know what else is going on, so I'll just catch you up to speed. And then it kind of goes back to the past of like past 3 months,
which,
or whatever.
Which is interesting, because I think this is this is a touchstone of the character in the comic books. She does break the fourth wall a lot in the comics, where she talks to the readers, and does things too, like, well, she, where she'll she'll physically jump from one panel to another to transport herself places.
Nice.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So it's like she knows she's in a comic book sort of thing.
That's awesome.
I mean? And yeah, and this is, I mean, the first time we've had like a breaking of the fourth wall in the MCU proper besides Wanda in WandaVision. Where she's,
oh, that's right, Wanda.
Yeah, because I mean, we had the whole like Modern Family type episode where she was talking to the camera and stuff. So,
that's about the only
time I think that any characters have talked to the audience like this. I mean, obviously Deadpool does that, but he's not officially the MCU yet. He's almost, you know, so
I mean, eventually he might, or at least Sony will at least release the rights to use.
Oh no! No, that's a Fox thing. Disney owns them now. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, they have the rights. They have the rights to Deadpool and all of the X-Men universe, which Deadpool is part of. So yeah.
Gotcha. So it's only Spider-Man that they don't have the exclusive rights.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all of the Spider-Man universe. Yeah.
Spider-Verse. So they go into, like, you know, 3 months ago she was on a road trip with Bruce, you know, her cousin, and he's just kind of telling her stuff like about how he's got this new device that he wears on his arm that makes it so that he can stay in human form. Yeah, so we kind of
an inhibitor.
We know why he had a sling around. What's that?
An inhibitor is what it's called.
Inhibitor. And we know like why he had like a sling on his arm at the end of Shang-Chi is because his arm was still healing from Endgame when he did the snap, and that really damaged his arm, you know, quite a bit. You know, so he was wearing this to just sort of keep himself in human form. But then one of those weird spaceships from Ragnarok, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Like what is the name? Sakaarian, a spaceship.
Yeah, something like that. This was like, because we saw, I mean, if you haven't seen Thor Ragnarok, spoiler alert, but it's like 5 years old, so like, whatever.
It looks like the ship that Jeff Goldblum's character had.
Yeah, so they basically like kidnapped him before, and they basically made him like a gladiator for 2 years, like to make a bunch of money, and they just gave him like whatever he wanted, like on his downtime, like food or probably sex or whatever, you know,
which he mentions because he says he lost 2 years of his life because he doesn't remember any of it fully.
Stayed in that state for 2 whole years. And so for whatever reason that thing's after him again. So then she was the one I was driving, and she, you know, swerved, and they you know, fell, you know, into the like woods and got into like really bad, you know, car accident, and she gets out first. She's got a cut on her arm.
But more importantly, right before this fell, she was talking to two things here that were really important in this scene. The first off is the eating Cheetos with chopsticks. Which is very important and very interesting way. There's actually a device now that I saw on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Where you can put them on your, these little chopstick like things that go on your first two fingers and act like chopsticks. You put them on your fingers and then you can eat like snacks like while you're working on your computer or playing video games or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and your hands are free without, you know, you can still use your hands. The things are on there, and that way you don't get, you know, Cheeto dust all over your keyboard or something.
Or have to keep walking.
Yeah.
And okay.
That's the first important thing of the scene.
Okay.
Which, in my opinion, I think this whole show is just a Cheetos commercial. but then, secondly, the fact that she's grilling Bruce about Steve Rogers' sex life. She's obsessed with that. So this is the first instance of she's just trying to figure out if he's had sex. So, yeah.
I know.
Which comes into play later. But, yeah. Anyway, so they fall. They crash. Then what happens?
Oh, then what happens is, I'm kind of quite curious, too. I mean, I'll get to that in a second after I just explain. So she She's got like a cut on her arm. She gets up first. She pulls the door open. She unbuckles. Bruce carries him out of the car. And then he's kind of like in and out of consciousness. He's like telling her, like, stay away from me. Like, the blood, is dripping on your arm, so then like, it gets into her cut. So then she ends up, getting like his like, radiation blood or whatever. So she kind of hulks out, but it's kind of cool because like you only see it from like the car mirror or window, so you only get like a tiny little like glimpse kind
Yeah,
of.
it's more of the door, actually. It's kind of like a distorted reflection too, so it's kind
Yeah,
of, yeah.
it was a door, it's right. And then and then she just kind of like you hear like a growling sound and then like running, and then she wakes up in the woods. But the other point I was gonna make was, why didn't the spaceship just end up following the car crash after, like, were they just intentionally just trying to cause a car crash? Like, you know what I mean?
And maybe they weren't after Bruce. Maybe
Or yeah, maybe
maybe that ship was just randomly there. But my thing is if it's flying around, it should know that it shouldn't be flying that low on top of a highway, or a
yeah.
road, or
So
wherever that is. Yeah. So.
we'll probably find out. There's probably a reason for that. Bruce even said there's probably some kind of, he's got to get to the bottom of that, whatever that was about. So yeah, so that's our, her. So in the comics, it's because she got shot, and then Bruce had to give her emergency blood transfusion, and then that's what made her into like She-Hulk. But in this case, it's, just literally like a, well, I guess you could call it a blood
Yeah, I was gonna say
transfusion.
it's still technically a blood transfusion,
It's just
but
not in the way of like her losing blood. It was an open wound,
it's more like when you were a blood brother with your friend when you were a kid and you
Yeah.
pricked your finger and you.
Oh God, I remember the panic from parents about that. Like, AIDS, they're gonna give each
Yeah.
other AIDS. Remember that whole
I
thing?
never did that with anybody, but I
Oh,
remember
me
hearing
either.
about it.
Just
So,
like,
yeah.
why would you do that? Like, that's just like dangerous as fuck. But like, because even if it's not AIDS, it could be any other disease or whatever. Like, yeah. Anyway, plus two, cut yourself. Why? Anyway,
Exactly. That was
so.
my main. I just hated needles. So,
Oh, of course, dude. I don't like bleeding. I don't like cutting myself. But anyway, I did used to like to put indentate. I know it's a weird tangent. I did used to like to put indentations into like my was it my hand? I don't even remember where it was. Somewhere like my hand or my fingers or something. I don't remember. But just weird stuff like that. But and yeah, she kind of goes off in the woods. She wakes up. She's back to, her human form. She hears the well the subtitle says she hears pop music in the background because I watch shows with the closed captions
Yeah, me
on.
too.
By the way, is what you got me into, by the way. So I blame you for this. No, not really. Because ever since you showed me the first episode of Arrow, then literally after that, that's when I started watching everything with closed captions on. Because I never did that before. And then,
I can't not do it. I mean,
yeah, I can't
I
anymore.
feel weird when I'm in a movie theater and I'm like, can somebody turn the captions on to this?
No,
No.
seriously, I can't. And like at first, like people say, like, oh, well, if you do that, you miss important things. But like, no, my eyes have gotten used to being able to move back and forth, or up and down
But
to
it's come in
not miss.
handy a lot of times, because there's so many times in movies or TV shows where like the background noise is too loud and you can't hear what the person is saying.
Yeah.
And if you have the captions on, you're like, oh, that's what she said. And especially when you're at home and you're watching something and streaming, you can just rewind it too, and it's like if you thought you missed something on the visuals of it, so yeah, it's not a
Yeah,
big
and
deal.
plus two, I like to watch things, up late at night, so I don't want the TV blaring, super loud. But anyway, I said pop music, nearby. So, she walks by and there's like a bar kind of place, and so she goes in the bathroom. She's got like, leaves all over her clothes, and she's got like cuts all over her face and her hands, and all these women, they come in and they, basically take care of her. Which is like, like the guy from Screen Crush was saying, like Ryan Airy was saying, is this how like all women's bathrooms are? Like just like people being like very supportive of each other. Like that just sounds like really cool, you know?
Yeah,
Like
I know.
it's like I wish men's bathrooms are like that. It's usually just like literally a pissing contest. Like, you know, like fuck you, bro. It's like, A, I hate urinals because they seem very barbaric. Like we're just whipping out our member and just peeing. Like
Yeah.
what? Like I don't know. Just that's a whole other thing. But like, you
I wish I
know.
could remember the name of the actress, but there's actually one of my Facebook friends was one of the women in that scene. So,
Oh really?
yeah. So
Nice.
she's like an actress down in Atlanta area. So, yeah.
Okay, that's
Yeah.
really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like she's like, I need to call my cousin to pick me up, and like, can I borrow someone's phone? And like they all like offer her their
Yeah.
like, that was just really cute and interesting. They kind of give her like a fur coat to wear, you know, and
Yeah.
then like goes outside and these guys start catcalling her and, you know, like, oh, I just want to talk to you, baby, and all this kind of stuff. So then she, you know, she hulks out and just like, you know, like punches them or whatever. And
Well,
then,
I don't even know if she touched them. I think she just hawked out, and then
oh, okay.
Bruce came in and saved her.
Oh, is that what happened? Okay.
Yeah. Because he stopped her, but because that's one of the things that, because shortly after that, she's talking about how she can handle the transformations because she's had to deal with, people picking on her and being mean to her and people being misogynistic and everything her whole life. So she's able to deal with anger better than, somebody that had like childhood trauma like Bruce did.
Not true though, because she did Hulk out right at that moment,
Yeah,
so
but I think she chose to do it because she's able to choose.
oh.
Because he did it when he got angry, whereas
Oh, I
she has control over it. But people were complaining and saying that she almost killed these guys, and now she's talking about feminism.
Oh my God. Oh
That was
my
one of the
God.
comments I read today, and I'm like,
Dude, it's a TV show. Oh my,
yeah.
like I'm like okay, all right, let's play that argument. So, Avengers 2012, the Hulk literally terrorized an entire city.
Exactly.
Or was it Infinity War? I don't remember which one.
But whatever, he's done it several times in different movies, and
Like literally
yeah.
Tony had to build a suit that was basically like an iron version of like the Hulk, like to be as big as he is and like
I mean,
punch him and
you
like
go back to the Ed Norton Hulk movie, which is technically part of this continuity. I mean, the character's just recast. He basically destroyed Harlem.
Oh, wow.
So in that movie, he had the big fight with Abomination and almost destroyed all of Harlem, so of course he destroyed all these
But you
small
know, since
businesses and stuff and
she may have hurt, you know, three guys who catcalled her, you know,
Yeah.
that's the first thing, which again just proves the point of the show that she's making right there, you know, that she may have, you know, punched a few guys and that's the worst thing ever, but you know, the Hulk can literally destroy an entire city and it's totally fine. So it's like
But
your reaction
to be
to it.
fair, Harlem was shot in Toronto, so
Well,
I was on the set, so
okay, well, whatever. Were you?
Yeah, I was up in I was in Toronto staying there the week that one not the week that they were filming because they were filming for weeks, but one of the weeks they were filming there, and you go down Yonge Street in Toronto, and they made it they put fake facades in front of all these buildings to make it look like Harlem.
Wow.
So like there was a fake Apollo Theater in front of like this business or whatever, like some restaurant or something, and all these other different things, and they had signs during the day that would say the name of the real place and says, yeah, we're open, these hours or whatever, so you could go in and have food at these restaurants or shops or whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So the 2008 Hulk film is actually then canon within the MCU.
Yeah, because Edward Norton was supposed to be the Hulk continuing, but
Okay.
then they had a falling out him and Marvel because
Oh.
he had a lot of control over the script for the Incredible Hulk and stuff, and they were afraid to give him too much control, and I think there were some money issues and stuff too. Edward Norton has even admitted this, that he's a difficult person to work with. Not
Oh, I see.
in like a bad way, but he's just very into his art. And it's kind of hard for him to, you know, separate when he's in a character and stuff like that. And he probably never wanted to be a long-term superhero or anything, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's kind of cool. That's like actually canon, because I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I mean, Thunderbolt Ross is in that movie, and it's the same actor, William Hurt, who just passed away recently, and he continues in future installments of the MCU.
Right, like in Civil War, and like, yeah. Okay, cool. So what else happens after she hulks out on these guys or whatever, and
So Bruce whisks her away, as you do. They end up in Mexico on an island where Bruce wakes her up and lets her know that he wakes her up with a air horn, like you do to people, and you know, bust their eardrums and stuff.
Well, that was actually after.
Oh, was that? Oh, yeah, that was the next day. I'm sorry, I forgot.
That's alright.
Yeah, but anyways, she wakes up. Yeah, that's right. She wakes up on her own and realizes that she's somewhere she doesn't know where she is, and she finds Bruce down in the basement laboratory, or he comes up and gets her. I can't remember which. He has this laboratory that Tony built for him before he died to help them try to figure out ways to solve and integrate himself with the Hulk and things of that nature. So he's got his own little Mexican laboratory, you know. The lab, he's back to being the Hulk at this point, because the inhibitor is broken. He does let her know that the inhibitor was specifically calibrated to him and that he couldn't just make one for her right now, you know?
Right. And did he make that, or did Tony make that for him?
I think he and Tony devised it, you know, okay, or something. Yeah. Or just, you know, he had the laboratory, because he did say that, you know, a lot of the times when they were there, Tony was just getting drunk and listening to music and stuff. So, and complaining. the other thing I think is interesting too is I think that Tony had to have stayed there a lot, because all the clothes that Bruce and Jen have on are like rock band t-shirts and stuff, like Led Zeppelin and a Nirvana Nevermind shirt and stuff like that. And yeah, Tony was really into rock music, so
right, yeah,
I think that's kind of their way of giving us a nod to the fact that, you know, Tony's still, you know, in their hearts, sort of thing, you know. So
yeah, Bruce kind of, every time he talks about Tony, he kind of looks sad and stuff like that. And
yeah. So the lab also, you know, serves as this way to control the Hulk. So Bruce put Jen in a cage to trigger her Hulkism, you know, with these hacksaws coming at her and stuff. Like, there's got to be a better way.
I know.
I mean, she was suggesting that, you know, he just play some Pixar movies so she can get her anxiety up.
Was it, what movie was it? What, Bing Bong?
Just talking about Inside Out, where there's a character of Bing Bong who dies in the movie, and
he's, yeah, isn't he like an imaginary friend or something,
yeah,
like that? I never actually saw that movie. But
oh, you should. It's so good.
I know. Everyone keeps telling me I should.
Oh, I love that movie. Made me cry. Anyway, so like most Pixar movies did.
Yeah.
I mean, I was bawling like about 5 minutes into Up. So but anyway, she ends up like destroying, like, you know, millions of dollars worth of, you know, equipment there, because she hulks out because, you know, she's getting angry because chainsaws are coming at her, or bandsaws or whatever are coming at her face, you know. So it's like
right, yeah, I know.
yeah, So then we have like these we find out that she's able to control her powers and that she's integrated already. Like, she doesn't need to go through, he's got like this like syllabus basically of like things to do to help train her, and we find out that she doesn't really need the first half of the training because she's already integrated. But she does still need some training, and they start to do like meditation to control anger and fear, and strength training by throwing boulders. and then they go to this bar that Tony and Bruce made, and, you know, realize that, you know, they can get the buzz and not get totally drunk. She still does, like, get a hangover though, so I don't know. But
yeah, because he was like, you know, saying, you know, I've only been telling you the downsides of being the Hulk, but there's actually a few upsides, and they can metabolize alcohol at an extremely fast rate. So, you know, but yeah, you're right. Why have the hangover then? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
So I don't know about that one. But yeah, then the Earhart thing happens though too, and like you mentioned, where he just like blows it in their ear, which, again, I hate it when movies do that. I'm like, don't give anyone ideas. You can literally deafen someone by.
I know. I see it all the time in sitcoms and movies and stuff. And I mean, it was used like a lot of times in like these Disney and Nickelodeon like kids shows too and stuff. And I'm like, this is just.
I know. I said, come on, guys, don't do that. he hulks out and breaks her bed, basically, because of that. And
yeah. then what happens here?
Let's see. After that, he was trying to teach her was it called dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT?
Yeah.
She didn't really want to do that because she thought that she'd already mastered that through like yoga and stuff, like, which it's not really the same thing, but like,
yeah.
So he's kind of teaching her like yoga and stuff, but of course, you know, she's doing it better than he is because she already practices yoga, and he's kind of getting pissed off at the things that she's better at than he is because he had to like train to do all this stuff. And you know, so I can sort of see why the man babies are mad about this. Not justifying it, but I understand. I could get into their thought processes, you know, which is like basically going through the slime trail. But like, where they're like, oh, you see, like, what would, like, in like the new modern movies, like, you know, a man has to like do all this hard work, you know, to get where he's at, but they're like, oh, the women are just like magic and they can just like do whatever without even, you know, trying. And it's like, you know, like, okay, like, calm down, guys. Like,
yeah,
you know, calm down, Jordan Peterson. Like, you know,
she already went through this stuff before she was a Hulk. So
I know. Yeah. But I'm just going through their.
I know.
I can get into their minds, or at least their thought process, and know exactly why they get so angry about these things.
Yeah.
Because again, because they're very insecure, and that's kind of, you know, well, that's where it comes from.
It's because because they can't deal with progression, and they can't deal with the fact that they think that something might be different in the world. It's like they just don't understand change.
Might be better than them, or women might be better than them at something, which again, it kind of goes against their whole ethos though too, because part of their ethos, you know, which comes from Jordan Peterson, because he's kind of like their daddy, is that it's all about self-improvement and bettering yourself. And it's like, okay, well, if you find out if you find out that someone's better than you at something, don't complain and moan about it. Better yourself, so then you can be better than that person, you know? But,
It's like, I think we addressed this thing decades ago with the musical Annie Get Your Gun, with the song Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better.
That was also probably
problematic at the time. Yeah.
That was probably, because people complained about that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but the thing is though, she already practices yoga. So she was able to already know like the positions and, things like that. So he's kind of getting a little bit jealous because of the fact that a lot of the stuff comes natural to her, and he had to like work on this for like 15 years, basically.
Yeah,
with
and they end up fighting a lot too.
well, because she wants to just be done with
Yeah.
it and doesn't want to train. That typical thing.
Part of me thinks too, it's I think Bruce is lonely, so he just likes having his cousin hang out with him. So he's kind of like
Yeah, well, because yeah, he stays there by himself. I mean, and it's nice to have. He's probably older than she is, too. So it's kind of nice to have someone younger, where it feels like you can impart knowledge to, because it kind of makes you feel like you're old and wizened or whatever, type of thing. Like, that aspect. Plus, too, having someone who's not just your friend, but someone who's related to you, like especially cousins. I mean, unfortunately, I don't really know my cousins very much, which kind of makes me sad. But like, there's like, I don't know, there's certain kind of like special bond, like when it comes to like cousins, because they're like separated by just like one thing, but like, they're not your sibling, but they're like just the next thing over, and it's like, I don't know, there's just something interesting about that. But that's a whole other topic, though. I wish, maybe I'll try to contact them more and get to know them better. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But sorry, I'm just like putting in my own personal thoughts here. But like,
We'll save that for a very special episode of All Too Real, too.
yeah, very special. All two cousin. No, I don't know. I didn't. Sorry, I don't know. But yeah. I forgot what happens after that when they do yoga.
They like have their they have a little blowout basically, and then at one point they break the bar, they rebuild the bar. And she carves her name in it, or her not her name, but her initials,
Just like Tony did.
because Tony and Bruce had before. After this is all going on, she ends up taking Bruce's Jeep after he finally lets her. And she drives back to the city, of Los Angeles from Mexico there, and then we're out of the flashback that we had started at the beginning of the episode, and now we see Jennifer in court trying to get ready to give a closing argument in a lawsuit, basically the one that she was practicing at the beginning of the episode, and the moment she's about to speak, we get interrupted by Jamila Jamil. People would know from The Good Place as Titania. Or yeah, that's right, Titania. Who is a character from the comic books who has like super strength as well. She starts smashing up the courtroom, and then Nikki, Jen's best friend and the paralegal, insists that she bring out She-Hulk to save the day. Because Nikki knows about her being She-Hulk, and Jen's kind of reluctant to do that and doesn't want to do it at first. And she's like, "I really like this outfit, you know, because it's gonna basically that." And then, and so her friend tells her to take her shoes off because she doesn't want to destroy the shoes. So she takes that off, and then she hulks out, and there's a little, I think, lackluster fight scene between Titania and her. That was my one major complaint about this episode. I think the fight scene could have been a little better there.
Well, what I'm hoping about that, I share your feelings about that, but what I'm hoping about that is that this is not going to be like the end of that conflict.
Oh,
Because I mean,
I'm sure it's not, because you don't cast somebody like Jamila Jamil in the role if you're going to have her in one episode.
or for like 20 seconds, so
Yeah,
like
where she doesn't even really
literally,
talk.
she tried to do a jump kick at Jen, and then Jen just punches her through, and then she gets passed out, and then the cops. Or whatever, arrest, handcuff, which is weird. Well, what are they gonna do? I mean, they don't have any powers, but like, but so I'm like, that better not be like a trick role where they just casted her as like a fake out character, like, You know what I mean? Because sometimes shows and movies do that now, where they'll pretend to. You know what I mean?
I really hope that she comes back. I mean, there's no point in having somebody of that name caliber in a small role for, 30 seconds in an episode, So
I wonder if this is going to be again with the whole thing with like the creation of the Thunderbolts team, if she might be being recruited, you know, at some point, or because there's been theories that Abomination might be recruit. I hope not, because
I'm sure we're gonna see something though in this season before it ends, of her like breaking out of jail or something,
yeah, and I hope that
and Jennifer having
Abomination.
to take over and catch her or something.
Yeah, I mean, she probably will. I mean, come on. And then, I mean, I know they got these prisons now that are meant for like, quote, enhanced individuals, but you know, I mean, they, you know, Najwa was able to break out, you know, of, you know, Marvel, so, you know, but like, I'm really hoping that Abomination isn't going to join the Thunderbolts, because they've been teasing this whole idea that Wong has sort of been like reforming him and like teaching him like how to be a better person and stuff. So I hope like they're not just gonna undo all of that and just have him join the Thunderbolts, you know? So,
Yeah, I
but
mean, I do know that from what I've heard about future episodes that have been released already to some critics and stuff, I mean, with no none of them have given any spoilers or anything, but they do say that the show has kind of a serialized underneath story, but it also has, where there's like something that a continuing story that goes underneath, but they do have like episodic episodes where it's basically Jennifer defending people with superpowers each week.
Yeah,
So
I've seen like in the trailer and even.
we'll see other people. So my feeling on it is maybe with him in it, that she might be defending him or using him as a Hannibal Lecter sort of character where he can help her, you know what I mean? Help her
No,
see
it.
into the mind of villains and stuff. That's where I would go with it if I was writing it. But anyways, the way the but before we get any further in speculation or anything, the way it ends here is that they have this fight, they take Titania T -T Titania away, and then she first she says to Titania asks who she is, and she's like, "I'm Jennifer Walters, attorney at law," and which was the cheesiest part of the whole episode.
Oh, but I liked
I liked
it.
it. I liked it on the second viewing, but when I first saw it, I was like, "Oh, cringe." And
<-huh>.
but but and then she goes back to being Jen, and she says, "I'm ready to give my closing arguments," and that's how the episode ends.
I love that.
But
You're like, I know.
then we have we do have a mid-credits scene, so yeah, which was great, where it's. She's pretending to be drunk at the bar with Bruce and basically gets him to admit that Steve Rogers had sex while he was on the USO tour in the 40s.
He said to some girl, like he didn't
Yeah.
say it was didn't say it was Peggy
Yeah,
or
because I don't think it was Peggy, because that was before he met Peggy.
it was? Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
so it was probably one of the USO girls, like the dancers in the show.
And plus, because she was crying, so she was like saying it was so sad that he, you
Yeah.
know, saying that ass, because
Yeah.
it goes up,
As
goes
a
back to Endgame,
callback, yeah.
that he's America's ass, you know, stuff like that. So like, you know, that ass didn't deserve to die of her shit, which is weird. So she doesn't know that Steve, I guess Bruce didn't tell her that, you know, he.
Nobody knows.
Oh, nobody, but
I mean, I know,
Kevin.
obviously Bucky and Sam know, but
And Bruce knows, but no one
yeah,
else.
and I think that they just wanted to keep it quiet and make it so,
Okay, gotcha.
so nobody could try to build a time machine and go back and fuck with Steve or anything,
Why would they assume that he died, though? Because he didn't die in the battle. So why would they assume that
They probably just said that he did, that he disappeared or something. You know,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, and then that scene ends with her saying, you know, Captain America, and then it cuts off before she says.
So Captain America fucked, but then it stopped, right?
Yeah,
as you said, fuck, you know. Mm-hmm. So again, you're saying this is a show for kids?
Exactly. I think this guy's on something that's saying this.
She flipped in the bird, and they actually showed it when he pushed her off a cliff. And then when Bruce pushed her off a cliff for being sarcastic. And then she almost said fuck at the end of the episode. So,
yeah,
not for kids. Not for kids at all. Maybe
teenagers.
Late teens, like 16, 17, maybe. But, like, definitely not for, like, 13-year-olds or anything like that, but
it's definitely, know, like TV PG, whatever, you know, something, you know, it's not like TVG or anything.
TV Y-17s, what they used to call it, or something, or
I think that would apply to like Miss Marvel, not this. This would probably be PG in my opinion, because there's some I do think that there could have been a little bit more violence in certain scenes, like in the scene with the car crash, but I understand that they had to cut back on the blood, but it was still, you know, it just seemed a little hollow to me in that scene, but that's my only, like, I've got a few criticisms because I really like the episode, but, you know, I can see what's wrong with it, you know, and not call it crap and say it's for kids and stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, any speculation here?
Like for the next episode?
Yeah, like where do you think the show's gonna go? Or do you think?
Well, you know, now everyone knows, you know, that she's a Hulk, so I guess that's definitely gonna change some things. So, I'm guessing that she's gonna probably face a lot of prejudice at first, you know, from her colleagues, or at least most of them. Maybe even the jury, and then maybe that's what will lead to her specializing in defending, you know, enhanced individuals.
Yeah, because right now she's working with the district attorney's office and not as a defendant. So
I don't know if she's gonna get fired, or they're just gonna transfer her over, or if she's got, you know, some secret governmental contract, you know, type of thing to work, you know, exclusively with, you know, enhanced individuals. That's like their new name, I guess, for these people. But so I don't know. I heard that there's going to be 9 episodes.
Is there?
For this, or is there another show that's going to have 9 episodes? I don't remember. Maybe not. Well, I don't know, because this show was only like a half hour long, so it might, like, WandaVision had 9 episodes, but they were shorter.
Yeah.
So
this could too.
And I kind of like that actually better than the 6 episode, you know, thing that they've been doing for a while. You know, I think,
because that didn't seem like enough episodes.
Even if those episodes are longer, I still think having shorter episodes but more episodes still feels like it's more. Even if it still amounts to the same amount of time, it just feels, I don't know how to explain it. Like, maybe they get more.
I looked it up. It is 9 episodes for.
It is all right. Nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So that'll be fun.
So that's all I've got for speculation.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't have anything else really. It'll be just interesting to see where they go with Abomination when he comes in. And I know Daredevil's going to show up at some point, so that'll be interesting to see too. With him being a lawyer as well, I wonder if he's going to show up just as Daredevil or as an attorney as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Any final thoughts here before we wrap things up?
No, just I would just recommend watching it. And if you didn't like it the first time, I would recommend watching it the second time like I did, because I liked it the second time. So, you know, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's better on a second viewing for some reason. Anyways, we'll talk to you more about this next week. Until then, be good to each other. And check out our TeePublic. Check out our social meds, all of them. Check out, you know, alltoreal2.com for anything. You can also check out our Patreon. Anything else? I posted a picture up on Instagram recently of Matt's comic book that he got from his doctor that we talked about in a previous episode.
Yeah, right.
So you can check that out on our Instagram. Be sure to subscribe there. Share the show with your friends. Tell somebody to listen. Remember that I love you and Sesame loves you. Yep. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.